I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to our worship service this morning, and a special welcome to the Pattison and Cathers families as they come for Jacob's baptism this morning. Jacob's the son of Trevor and Rachel Pattison. So we welcome you all to our service this morning. Also like to welcome Daryl Simpson back to Uma again after his recent Celtic Tenors tour. Delighted that you were able to take the opportunity to come and play for us this morning before you head off on another round of concerts somewhere in the world. And we're doubly delighted that your spell at home also coincides with the PW Gospel concert, and that you've agreed to be a special guest soloist on the evening. So thanks very much, Daryl, for being willing to do that for us here in the congregation. So a reminder to the congregation of the PW Gospel concert that's taking place this Thursday evening at 8 o'clock. Tickets can be got from any member of the PW, or you can pay at the door. So we look forward to a wonderful evening of entertainment and gospel singing here in the church on Thursday evening. Sadly, I have to announce the death of a member of our congregation, Mrs. Tilly Bell of Parkview Nursing Home, formerly of Edinburgh Park, died on Tuesday the 19th of March, and her funeral service took place in First Oma on Friday. Please remember her children, Christine, Raymond, Linda, Pauline and Harold, and their families in your thoughts and your prayers at this sad time. This is the fourth of a six-week series on the mission of the church, and this morning we will focus on our mission to teach disciples to follow the ways of Christ. In Colossians 3 and 16 it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So let us come before our God and sing a hymn that we know so well, hymn number 196, and don't worry, just let her be. 196, "We Love the Place, O God." Let's sing to God together.
Oh,
We come now before God in our prayers. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are holy and majestic, mighty and powerful, merciful and just. We come before you this morning to bring you our heartfelt praise and our worship. We cannot fully comprehend all that you are, because you are other than us. And yet, in your mercy and grace, you stepped into this world in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ, to make yourself known to us in a personal way and to save us from our human frailty and our sinfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. We rejoice that in him we can find forgiveness of sin and be cleansed from all our wrongdoing. Forgive us, we pray, for taking your selfless act of love for granted, for failing to live as daughters and sons of the living God. Forgive us for the times when we have neglected or ignored the needs of others, and when we have failed to worship you with body, soul, mind, and strength. Thank you for the wonderful gift of your word, which reveals your truth, your love, and your mercy to us. Help us to pray, we pray, to live according to your light, to be guided by your truth, and to be changed and transformed by your mercy and your grace into the likeness of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray, and who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture reading is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 25, and will be read for us by Ian Alexander. Psalm 25, verses 1 to 14, and this can be found on page 550 of the Bibles in the pews.
A prayer for guidance and protection. To you, O Lord, I offer my prayer, and you, my God, I trust. Save me from the shame of defeat. Don't let my enemies gloat over me. Defeat does not come to those who trust in you, but to those who are quick to rebel against you. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Make them known to me. Teach me to love according to your truth, for you are my God who saves me. I always trust in you. Remember, O Lord, your kindness and constant love, which you have shown from long time ago. Forgive the sins and errors of my youth, and your constant love and goodness remember me, Lord. Because the Lord is righteous and good, he teaches sinners the path they should follow. He leads the humble in the right way and teaches them his will. With faithfulness and love, he leads all who keep his covenant and obey his commands. Keep your promise, Lord, and forgive my sins, for they are many. Those who have reverence for the Lord will learn from him the path they should follow. They will always be prosperous, and their children will possess the land. The Lord is the friend of those who obey him, and he affirms his covenant with them. Amen.
Thank you, Ian. I'd like to invite Trevor and Rachel and Jacob to come to the front. And then invite any children who are in the congregation, if you'd like to come up to the front, so that you will also be able to see all that's happening. All right. You take a piece of it. Great. Oh, you're going to be surrounded. Oh, I was going to think it was going to be surrounded all by boys, but we've got some girls here this morning too. Here we come. And we might have an extra little girl. Whoops. All right, today we gather to celebrate the baptism of little baby Jacob. And we do so in accordance with the teaching of Jesus Christ, who said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." And then on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." So this sacrament of baptism is a sign and a seal of the covenant of grace which God has made with us in Christ. By baptism, we are received into his church. Christ brings us from death to life, so that having been raised to life in him, we may live as heirs of the kingdom. The children of Christian parents, though they do not understand these things, are within the covenant and they belong to the life of the church. Since Jacob is not yet of an age to speak for himself, his parents and the congregation must make promises so that through Christian nurture in the grace of God, Jacob may come to profess his own faith and serve Christ in the church and in the world. So could I ask the congregation to please stand? In presenting Jacob for baptism, do you profess your faith in God as your Creator and Father, in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and in the Holy Spirit as your Sanctifier and Guide? And will you, by God's help, provide a Christian home and bring Jacob up in the worship and the teaching of the Church, so that he may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour? And then to the congregation, do you who now in Christ's name receive Jacob into the fellowship of the church, promise with God's help so to order your congregational life and witness that he may grow up in the knowledge and love of God and be continuously surrounded by Christian example and influence? Okay, here we go. Jacob Robert Canders Patterson, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain upon you this day and forevermore. Jacob is now received, according to Christ's command, into the membership of the Holy, Universal, and Apostolic Church, and he is engaged to be the Lord's. So we're going to sing a blessing upon Jacob. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Please be seated. We've got a new conductor for the choir here, by all accounts. We're now going to say a prayer for Jacob. So let's join together in prayer. We rejoice, O Lord, in your covenant mercy and in your abundant grace towards us and towards our children. We give you thanks for your promise in your word to not only be our God and Father, but to be the God and Father of our children. And we praise you that you have received Jacob by baptism into the life of your church here on earth. We pray, O Lord, that your love, your truth, and your grace would guard and keep him all his days, and that he would one day come to faith in Christ for himself and know the joy of serving you all his days. We ask, O Lord, your blessing to rest upon Jacob and upon his parents, Rachel and Trevor, as they seek with your help to raise him in the Christian faith. We pray, O Lord, that as a congregation we would faithfully support this young family and all families belonging to our congregation, and that they would find in us a loving, supporting Christian community who will nurture them in faith and strengthen them for service in the world. These prayers we offer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. We bring this part of a service to a close as we sing the hymn, Our Children, Lord, in Faith and Prayer. And then after this hymn, for those of you who may be new to the church, children are able to go out through this door and round into the halls for Children's Church and to be very welcome to join with the other children for Children's Church if you wish to. If you don't want to go, you can stay with your parents, but it's entirely up to you. You're very welcome to go if you want to. Let us sing our hymn 375, Our Children, Lord, in Faith and Prayer. Our New Testament scripture reading is taken from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, and this can be found on page 254 of the Bibles in the pews. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for his own. So then you must clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with one another and forgive one another whenever any of you has a complaint against the other. You must forgive one another just as the Lord has forgiven you. And to all these qualities add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. The peace that Christ gives us is to guide you in the decisions you make. For it is to this peace that God has called you together in the one body. And be thankful. Christ's message in all its richness must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct each other with all wisdom. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your hearts. Everything you do or say, then, should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, as you give thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. We thank God for his word to us this morning. I'm happy, don't stress yourself. But if you want to go out through this door and straight ahead to the vestry, it's entirely up to you. But just to let you know that it's... And you can go back in any time whenever you feel. I'm not sending you out, I hope you know that. But I'm just thinking that if I was in your position, I'd be going, I wish I could just settle them. And feel free to come back in whenever you're ready. Oh, see, he's quiet now. He knows that, eh? This morning, before we do our prayers for others, I want to draw your attention to the moderator's appeal. Many of you will already have seen on your television screens the devastating impact that that cyclone had in the southern states of Africa, particularly in Mozambique, Malawi, and Zimbabwe. And so the moderator has launched an appeal, a special moderator's appeal, to help those who've been affected by the cyclone. Up on the screen then are a series of slides which just give us a little bit of an insight into the situation out there. The photographs have been sent through Christian Aid and Tearfund partners through to Church House, and they've put this presentation together just to let you know why we have indeed launched this appeal. So the next slide will show us that Cyclone Idai swept through southern Africa, causing severe flooding and major devastation in Mozambique, Malawi, and Zimbabwe. Homes, roads, and bridges have been destroyed, and large areas of farmland submerged by floodwaters. Hundreds and thousands of survivors are now in urgent need of humanitarian assistance. 2.6 million people have been affected and hundreds killed. Kunja Natunda, a mother of six children, lost everything, her house, including her house, when the floods submerged her entire village in Malawi. She was able to rescue her children aged between 7 months and 7 years. They are now seeking shelter in a nearby camp. Their immediate needs are food, shelter, and non-food items. At the camp, they only have access to one meal a day, and she is worried about her young children. In anticipation of your generosity, PCI is immediately releasing £60,000 to our partners Christian Aid, Tear Fund, and the Church of Central Africa Presbyterian Blantyre Synod. Please pray and give generously, that we may play our part in saving lives and restoring hope to the many who face this catastrophic situation. We will use the following prayer points in our prayers for others. For those of you who know that we have a personal interest in Malawi, David has been in contact with the people in Mbangwini, and they are in the central section of Malawi, and whilst they've had very, very heavy rains, they haven't been affected by the flooding. The flooding has actually impacted the southern state of Blantyre. That's the area that's most in need. But our friends in Mbangwini are managing, but they too call for an end to the rains. So let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, the scale of the devastation caused by Cyclone Idai is mind-blowing. With so many areas devastated, villages destroyed, and lives torn apart, we feel so helpless and so far removed from all that is happening. But we come before our great God this morning, who tells us in his word that he knows when even a single sparrow falls from the sky. And so, O Lord, we bring before you the plight of the people in southern Africa. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for the injured and for those whose homes have been damaged or destroyed. May they know your comfort and receive the help and support they need in the midst of this personal crisis. We pray for wisdom for the authorities and aid agencies as they seek to bring emergency supplies to those in need: water, food, shelter, and medical help. May those in greatest need get the help and support they so desperately need. We pray too, O Lord, for medical teams and environmental agencies as they seek to control conditions and prevent the outbreak of deadly diseases like cholera and typhoid. And we ask, O Lord, that you would bring an end to these heavy rains. We give thanks for the various government, international and local, and faith-based agencies who not only respond in the immediate crisis, but who will continue to provide long-term help and support to people to enable them to rebuild their homes and restart their livelihoods in the months ahead. And we pray, O Lord, for an outpouring of generosity as people respond to the situation in southern Africa. And we ask, O Lord, that in the midst of all the relief efforts, that the people there would know your peace and your comfort through the actions of your people at work throughout the world. As we think of disaster overseas, our minds also turn to the disaster which took place in our own county last Sunday, with the devastating loss of three young teenage lives in Cookstown, and the outpouring of grief which has followed. We lift before you this morning the families of Morgan and Lauren and Connor as they grieve at their passing, as they search for answers, and as they receive comfort and solace from friend and stranger. We remember also, O Lord, the hundreds of other teenagers who were present that night and who have been injured or traumatised as a result. We ask that they would get the help and the support that they need at such a vulnerable time in their lives. And we remember also the police and emergency services who responded to that disaster, many of whom may be replaying in their own minds the scenes they witnessed that night and wondering if there was anything more that they could have done to help those affected. We pray for them and ask that you would support and encourage them to continue in their ongoing support of our wider community. We pray also for the ongoing police investigation as it seeks to determine the causes of the incident. And we ask that these deaths, O Lord, would not be in vain, but that lessons would be learnt and changes implemented in order to prevent something further similar happening in the future. We pray also, O Lord, for anyone going through traumatic events in their own lives this week, whether as a result of illness, of bereavement, of anxiety. Grant them, we pray, your peace in the midst of their personal turmoils, and may they know your hope in the midst of their despair. These prayers we offer In the name of Jesus, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. We come now to our next hymn, which is one of the modern Getty hymns. We've sung it in church a few times before, so hopefully it will be familiar to you. It's entitled Speak, O Lord, and the words will appear on the screens. Miss Stewart was my English teacher in first year, and she was my favourite teacher in the Girls Model School in Belfast. She was the first teacher that I had that treated us like equals. She chatted to us about life outside of school, and she built up a good relationship with us, leading and teaching us by her example. She wasn't all that long out of college, so I guess she wasn't that much older than we were, and her style was more relaxed and informal than the other older teachers in the school. We saw her as our friend as well as our teacher. I do hope that she never lost her enthusiasm for teaching and that she continued to inspire other people through her example. However, it was my fourth year English teacher, Mrs. Graham, who was very much more old school, whose words have inspired me to this day. We were chatting one day in class about an up-and-coming general election. I think it might have been between Margaret Thatcher and Neil Kinnock, so that places me in that era, if any of you remember that general election when poor Neil fell on the beach and lost the election. But we were talking about this up-and-coming general election, and Mrs. Graham told us that as women, we should always exercise our right to vote, because women had died to secure that right for us. And she said, in Miss Jean Brodie style, "Girls, even if there is no one that you would want to vote for, go to that ballot box, claim your vote, and then spoil it. Exercise the right that others have died to secure for you." So needless to say, that was impressed upon me, and I have sought to follow her example and have only failed a couple of times to register my vote and to cast my vote. And I'm afraid I do have to say that on one or two occasions I did spoil my vote. So disillusioned was I at the state of politics in Northern Ireland at that time. But what about you? What teachers inspired you at school? What was it about them? Their teaching style, their passion, their personality, that caused your teenage self to sit up and take notice? I'm sure you can all think of someone. Take a moment now to give thanks for their guidance and for their influence on your life today. But school teachers aren't the only people who teach us important lessons in life. We're constantly learning from other people, from our parents and our grandparents, from our friends and our bosses, from work colleagues and Sunday school teachers, from ministers to spouses. We can even learn from people that we've never met before, people who inspire us because of the way they have lived their lives and because of the example that they have set us. One such person who inspired me was Gordon Wilson from Enniskillen, who spoke about forgiveness following the murder of his daughter Mary in the Enniskillen bomb. His words through a television screen really challenged me. Would my faith in God and my love for Jesus inspire and enable me to have such forgiveness in my heart for anyone who had done me such wrong? Really challenging words. Challenging the very depth of who I am as an individual, as a Christian follower. His practical outworking of his Christian faith in such a devastating situation not only inspired me, but I know that it has inspired and challenged many others in this country and across this world. Mr. Wilson's ability to forgive came from his faith in Christ. He was seeking to follow in his master's footsteps, who on the cross said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." This was a lived out example of a teaching that Jesus had given to his disciples and to us today, when he told us, "If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And when he taught us how to pray, he said, "Father, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us." We have already used those words in our prayer this morning. It is easy to know it and to recite it, much harder to live it out in our lives. Jesus in his great commission, which we read earlier before we baptized Jacob, told his disciples to go out into all the world to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything he had commanded them. That is what the church today is called to do. As disciples of Jesus, we are to fulfill Christ's great commission, to teach fellow disciples to obey everything that Jesus commanded us to do. We can do that with our words, and we should do that with our actions. There is no point in quoting scripture to someone, verse by verse, if your life does not show that you put it into practice, that you're willing to demonstrate the truth of what you say, and that it will shape the way in which you live your life. John Piper, an American pastor and theologian, once wrote a book about those very commandments that Jesus was talking about. Teach them to obey all that I have commanded you to do. All of Jesus' teaching. We are to teach disciples, teach followers of Jesus, all the things that he has told us to do. Not just to teach them so that they can recite them, but teach them so that they will live their lives according to their truths. So John Piper examined the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, looking at the sayings of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus. And he identified 500 commandments to his disciples. That's a lot of commandments. Normally when we ask how many commandments are there in the Bible, we'll say 10. Jesus gave us 500 directives as to how we are to live our lives. And not just to know them in our heads, but to live them out in our lives and to put them into daily practice. Here are some of those directives. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus said, rejoice and leap for joy in the midst of the worst persecution. Jesus said, always pray and do not lose heart. He said, humble yourself and be the servant of everyone. He said, what God has joined together, let not man separate. He said, do not hold grudges. Jesus said, love your enemies. He said, forgive those who have wronged you 70 times 7. He said, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. And he said, make disciples of all nations. You're probably familiar with those teachings. You've heard those scriptures read. You've maybe read them yourself. But hearing them all together, you wonder, gosh, is that possible? To implement all of those. And I've only named 10 out of the 500 that are there in the teachings of Jesus. It's not easy to put them into practice in our lives. It is not easy to love our enemies. It is not easy to humble ourselves before others. It is not easy to rejoice in persecution or to pray when we feel downhearted, or to share the good news of Jesus with all nations. In fact, it is impossible for us as human beings to be able to obey all of those teachings in our own strength because of our sinful nature. We can only have a chance of fulfilling those teachings when we put our faith and our trust in the one who commands us to follow him. Of the 500 imperatives in the teachings of Jesus, John Piper highlights a number of foundational commandments that make us possible for us to obey the others And I'd like to share just three of those with you this morning. The first is found in John's Gospel, where Jesus tells us that we must be born again. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He was asked. You must be born again, Jesus said. You must not trust in your own strength and in your own ability and in your own goodness in order to receive eternal life. You must solely trust in the new life that Jesus offers all who follow him. So we are called as people to surrender ourselves before God, to acknowledge that we are helpless babies, incapable of living in our own strength, dependent upon the love and care of others to survive. Babies need their mother's milk or formula milk today. They need their father's protection and care to guide them through life. So we as Christians need our Saviour's life-giving sacrifice and our Heavenly Father's forgiveness and guidance in order to live a new life in Christ, to be born again by the Spirit of God, trusting not in ourselves, but in Christ alone, and receiving that new birth into a living hope through faith in Jesus. So Jesus tells us that we must be born again. We must trust in him for our salvation. The second imperative is that Jesus tells us to come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Thankfully, we do not have to live the Christian life under our own strength. Otherwise, we would always be weary and burdened. But Christ calls us to come to him, to receive from him, to find rest in him, to seek guidance and direction from him. And he will walk with us, and he will help us to do the work he has called us to do. He tells us his yoke is easy and his burden is light. When we carry out the work that Christ has called us to do, then we will be given the strength to carry it out. We will be given the gifts that will enable us to carry it out, either natural gifts that we've already been given by God or spiritual gifts for a particular time and a particular season. But Christ will call us to him. He will prepare us. He will give us rest. And then he sends us out, equipped and enabled, to live for him in the world. So we must be born again. We must come to Jesus for rest and refreshment. And then the third foundational commandment is that Jesus tells us to abide in him. To abide with someone means to dwell with them, to live with them, to be a part of their home and their family. Like a branch belongs to a vine, so a disciple of Jesus belongs to Christ's body. We live and move and have our being in him. It is by abiding with Christ that we receive the strength we need for the road ahead. When we know how much God loves us because we've received that from him, then it is so much easier to love other people. When we know how much Christ has forgiven us, then it is so much easier to forgive those who have wronged us. When we know how wonderful it is to know Christ's mercy and compassion, then it is so much easier to show mercy and compassion to others. As disciples of Jesus, we must not only teach the ways of Jesus, but we must also live out those ways for him too. We as disciples of his are called to be practical living examples of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, teaching others through our words and actions the life-giving truth that we confess, that Jesus is Lord and that in him we find fullness of life. And we are commanded to teach this to others. Teaching other disciples is not something that is just set for certain individuals, for the minister up at the front on a Sunday morning, for the Sunday school teacher in the Rowan Hall, or the Bible study leader as they lead a group. We are all called to be the church who meets in Christ's name, to teach one another, to admonish one another, to encourage one another, and to support one another in our walk for Christ. We all have a responsibility as a congregation of God's people to teach the ways of Christ to others and to encourage them in their walk. We do that by coming regularly to worship, worshiping God with all of our hearts and minds. We do that through studying his word and working out what that means for our lives and putting it into practice. We can do that on Sunday mornings, privately on our own, with people in groups. We can sing our praises to God and learn as we sing. Many of our hymn writers have written songs and hymns in order to teach us truths contained in God's word, because there's something special about singing that connects with our hearts and with our souls, that it gets right down in there in the fabric of our being. That is why it is good to come together to worship and to sing praise to God, because it feeds our souls as we do so. And we're all called to pray for one another and to pray for the needs of others and to show compassion to people, to offer forgiveness to those who have wronged us, and to be willing to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus with others. It is as we journey in our faith and as we display Christ-like qualities in the way we interact with others that we will be known as people of the way, people who trust and believe in Jesus, not just with our heads, not even in our hearts, but in our lives and in our actions, knowing that Christ will sustain us and will provide all that we need for all that he calls us to do. So let me finish with the words from Colossians 3. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Amen. Your offerings to God will now be received. Oh, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the life and witness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray, O Lord, that as disciples of his, that you would take us and use us to show forth your love and your mercy and your grace through these our offerings and through our very lives. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We bring our service of worship to a close as we sing our final hymn, 549, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise. Now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and evermore. Amen.